attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, rightly divided here with power, authority, and conviction by Bishop Eddie Addy from the Macarius Church headquarters. This anointed teaching will challenge you, strengthen you, and equip you for a truly victorious life in the Lord. Be transformed as you listen.
Give attention to my words.
Let us pray. Father, thanks a million for the wonderful privilege of hearing words of life. Words that can change our lives, change our destinies, give us a solid ground to stand upon. Guide us by the Spirit of your word. This morning, we ask for the mercy of God to be with us, to help us, to hear your word one more time. One more time. One more time, because there will be a day that your word can enter. For the entrance of your word is what brings light. So today, let your word enter and find access in our inner man. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. What a blessing. We are continuing on our battle for enlargement. We are battling for enlargement. Battle. God will bless you in life, but yet last week we saw that we have to make ourselves ready for battles. You are going to battle. He will give you, but you have to battle it out. So if you are not prepared to battle things out, then you are not ready for enlargement. Because any further step in your life will involve some battles. And to the glory of God, He has given you what it takes to win every battle. Are you listening to me? Bible says that God is faithful and He will not suffer you to be tempted or tested or stretched to your beyond your elastic limit, beyond what you can endure, the Bible says. And that with every temptation, He will also provide a way of escape. So trust God to, you know, take on battles. Don't run away from the battles. Because we know it's not in the Bible, but Bob Marley was singing a song and he said that he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. I think that's what he said. Is that not so? That if you run away from a fight, you are likely to meet a similar fight or the same fight again another day. So if you meet the fight now, meet it and press on. God will help you. Now today we want to move on to chapter 6. All right? Chapter 6. And chapter 6 is where they had the first battle of their lives. And there are a few pointers there that I want you to become aware of. And in chapter 6 of Joshua, he says, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Wow. You remember Joshua sent spies to spy Jericho? Do you remember? Two guys. They went to Rahab, the harlot's house. And then when they finished their assignment and they were leaving, they promised her that they would save herself and her father's house. You remember that episode? Very good. Now, that was spying the land. Now they have to go and take it. You know, sometimes you are walking in an area, and say, this area is nice, I like to own a land here. That's spying the land. Then now you have to go and buy land. That becomes the real battle. Sometimes you read about some course B that you want to do. It's like, oh, it's a good idea. I want to do MBA finance, MBA something, project management. It's the spying of the land. Then now you have to actually get the forms and now pay the fees and then go for lectures and learn the learning. That's the battle. Are you listening to me? It's nice to say, well, I'd like to start a church here. It's good. You go and start. Good. But nice place. Oh, looks like the area is populated. That's the spy in the land. But now the actual goal there, and one man after the other, win them at any cost. And see, and take on that fight. You see, and that's what most people are not prepared. So the few people who are prepared to take on fights, they become our leaders. And sometimes when they are pushing us to take more territory, then we resist because, like one brother said, my flesh don't like this message. My flesh, it's too much. It's like, why are you, why? It's okay, let's stay here. Do you see? So, now they are going to take the land actual. And the Bible says that Jericho heard that these people were now overtaken. In fact, Rahab said that the fear of you has fallen upon us because we have heard of what you did to these kings beyond the Jordan. Remember that now they've crossed the Jordan. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You don't remember? You remember?
Yeah.
They crossed the Jordan on dry land. And then they took stones from the river. Very good. And then, so now that they are in Jericho, you will have to be ready for something. Because now Jericho has heard. So it has closed its doors. The walls were high. I mean, a wall that somebody can live in. Like Rahab's house was in the wall. Do you understand? We call it gatehouse. Like gatehouse, like a house that is built on the wall. So the foundation is the width of the house is within the within the width of the wall. Like wall, no, is very large. So if your room cry is 12 by 12, the wall should be at least 14 or 15 by 15. You know, it's very wide and very high. And then they've also shut their gate. So anything you want to take in life, don't think that it's going to be easy like that. You know, it's easy. Church is not easy to build. Pray for those who are going to start a church. And pray for those who are angry with their fathers and want to start a church. I mean, even those who are not angry with their fathers and they are doing church with great anointings, it's still not easy for them. Or for, I should say, for us. Are you listening to me? So nothing in this life comes easy. It's a wall. It has walls. It has gates. It's not only you who want to live in gated community. All the achievements of your life, efforts you want to make to achieve things, are also in a gated community. And the walls are wide and high and has strong gates. Yeah. None goes out, none comes in. Yeah. So those of you think that you want to marry, it's a project, it's a battle. Yeah. There are ladies, your battle is first of all on the packaging. What do they call it? It's not packaging. What do you...
Branding.
You have to brand yourself.
Branding.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to rebrand. The way you are, no, it's been some 25, 26, 32 years. You've been this type of hairstyle that they tie your hair and then your mama is very shiny like torchlight.
My God.
At a point, You have to rebrand, like change your style. Reinvent yourself. Yeah. Maybe you have to cut your hair and color it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying you should do that, but I mean, so I see some people who have rebranded their hair. They've cut it short and rebranded, colored the hair. There's a program on DSTV. They were extreme makeover, like a house. Sometimes very old houses, then they have extreme makeover of those houses. Hey, when you see the current state and compare with the old state, say, wow, it's called extreme makeover. Yes, and sometimes it's a gift that is given to some families. Yeah. Go and put you somewhere, and then by the time they blindfold you and they open your eyes to see your house that you used to live in, you see that the people are collapsing. Extreme makeover. Tell your nearest sister that I see you in some extreme makeover. You know, those of you are into lace. You dress like your grandmother because you lived with your grandmother for a long time. Your hairdo is the hairdo of an old headmistress who has retired from active service. So you need to battle your way out of this, your old status, and rebrand yourself. Yes. Are you listening to me? You are not hospitable. Go to Wild Ajele on YouTube. Is that Sweet Ajele? No, I have a friend called Wild Ajete, so I always remember. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, so Sweet Ajele, yes, and let her help you to battle out your non-cooking things. You don't know how to cook. If a brother comes, it's as if he has come to visit a carpenter. It's like a Kogas extension. Hey! When you enter the kitchen, like a carpenter has entered the kitchen. Are you listening to me? I'm preaching, all you people. Yeah. And the way you talk, all are part. Sometimes you have to fight. Sometimes the battle is with you. You are your first enemy. We call it self-destruction. You are set to self-destruct. So even though you really want to be friendly and attract people and so on, you are a repellent. Mosquito repellent. I said mosquito repellent. Brother or sister repellent. Some of you brothers, check. Let somebody smell your armpit in the afternoon. Yeah. Well, you need rebranding of the ambience around you. Well, you have a particular Bluetooth area, Wi-Fi network, which nobody can come near. It's too powerful. When they come, they are repelled. They are like mosquitoes. You don't understand repellent. When you smear it on your body, mosquitoes can't come near. Some of you have smeared something on yourself and you are a natural repellent. Oba repel, you know. Then the sister comes, she has to hold her breath for as long as she's around you, because one, all her oxygen will finish if she takes one deep breath. Ooh, like that, like she can easily collapse. There's air pollution around you. I'm talking to brothers. Brothers, I'm talking to brothers. I'm not afraid of you. Kai. Most of the brothers, they don't bath well. Anyway, so battle. Nana, am I speaking the right? Should I continue preaching? Some of you brothers, you need a battle with your own self that I'm some way. I have to beat. Ah, you see, Paul said, I beat myself. I pummel my body. I give my body, another version, I give my body blows. Yes. So you have to fight. Yourself is your first enemy. Who is in a gated community with high walls and wide gates. It's not easy at all. Huh? This guy doesn't give us any scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27. Whoever is there, you are not a good Christian. From this afternoon, come and see me to show you how to have your quiet time. Because I think you don't know how to have quiet time. So you lack scriptures and even where to go in the Bible. So see me after church, whoever you are. But I keep under my body. Change the version. Change the version. It is my own body I fight. To make it do what I want. You don't fight your body, you'll be there like that. You see that, you are not moving forward. You think that your enemy in your life is your grandmother. You are making a mistake, a big mistake. The enemy, you yourself. You are set to self-destruct. So you yourself, you are your worst enemy. And beating yourself is not a simple thing, very difficult to beat yourself. But if you like strike, if you just hit your thigh, or slap your face. If you are a student who sleeps a lot, you need to slap your face. Hey, Kwejo, bang! Get up and learn. So you may have somebody in your life who is fighting that your self-destruction mode, and you'll be fighting the person for fighting because it's difficult to obey and go against what your body is set to do. Or you don't get the message.
I get it.
You say you want to marry one sister. So you did chase different girls. Do you see? You don't know how to be with one person and just concentrate. I don't know whether I should preach. What? I feel that I'll be entering uncharted territory. Like what I will say, some people may be angry with me. Hey. The gates are shut. None goeth out, none cometh. Some of you, nobody can come into your life. And you too cannot come out to do the right thing. You are just hemmed into your own cocoon and you are just finishing and dying. You are in lockdown mode. Yes. And none can come in to say, hey, do this or do that. No, do this. You see, when you have a good father, he enters your Jericho wall and fights your self-destructive personality there so that he can make you go forward in life. If you have a good mother, hey! Hey! Oh, lo. Teshi! You hear that word, teshi, a lot in your life because you sleep a lot. Teshi means get up. Oh, sorry. Edahoda. Sorry. Sorry if it's a fancy. Sorry if it's a tree man. And if it's an away, it's what? Huh? Huh?
No.
Cho. Cho. Oh, nyokaba. Wake up early. Get up. And some of you, you've heard that sentence. You don't like it. That's why since you went independent, you sleep at 12. It's like, the sun is too bright. I want to continue my sleep. It's still forcing me. You see, if you don't learn to fight yourself, a lot of your enlargement will be prevented. Opposed. None went in. None came out. This one was just... it just came in. Yeah. Yeah. So we are on chapter 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Jericho is shut, none went in, none came out. But he said to Joshua, I have given unto thine hand Jericho. The same sentence, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite. Is that not so? And his land.
Yes.
Begin to... Last week... Was it not last week? Was it this church?
Yes.
Was it this church?
Yes.
Okay. Rise up and take your journey.
Yes.
Hey!
Rise up and take your journey. See, I have given into thine hand. That's how God also gives. So today I want to tell you, God is telling you, see, I have given you house. Build your own house. See, I have given you a new car. Drive your own car. See, I have given you visas to travel abroad. See, I have given you a beautiful church. Yeah. Beautiful. See, I have given. But like he told Moses, you see, rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon, like they passed over the river Jordan. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. And now he said, begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Yes. I think we saw this one in tree, and the tree said that what? Yes. Yes. Like, start contending, wrestling with him, and then fight with him. But he said, I have given. So the same sentence, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. And let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city. And let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the trumpet of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with trumpets. And the rear ward or the rear guard came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. So what I learned, that just on the side, I'm giving you a few aside jobs, aside points, is that you must learn to follow God's express direction in every battle. All battles are not the same. Sihon the Amorite, they never went around the wall, or they never went around the city. But this one, he said, you see, you are going to battle. Don't assume that how you have fought always is how you must fight in every battle. And that's why Christians must learn the art of hearing God's voice. You have to learn it. God guides you and directs you. God gives you, do this, do that. It's not always that it's one way. But God does something for us and it works, we want to settle on that method and deal with God the same way he has always dealt with us. So it is said that the 7 last words of a dying church are, or I would say the 7 last words of a backsliding believer are, we have always done it this way. So right here you see Joshua being guided by the Lord. This battle, I've given it to you, but you have to go around the city once. So this was the strategy. Once every day, you go one round. For 6 days. On the 7th day, You are going to wake up very early and walk around the city, this time not once, but seven times. And then on the seventh time, the priests are supposed to blow their horns and the people are supposed to let out a loud shout. Shout! And the Bible says that the walls will come down. And indeed, when they did, the walls did come down. I mean, and if you are in a gated community, that the people who are coming to attack you, they are not coming through the gate, but they are shouting and your walls are falling down. And now you are now defenseless. Do you think you have even energy to fight? So learn, okay, my dear brothers and sisters, to learn to hear the voice of God specifically on any battle you are going to engage in. What should I do? What am I supposed to do? How do I go about this? That's why you need to wait on God from time to time, especially before a major, you know, endeavor of your life. When you are starting a business, when you are starting a courtship, when you are looking at a woman to propose, when a brother's eyes are on you and you feel there's some chemistry. Do you understand? Before the biology and physiology and anatomy go before, you must make sure, yes, yes, and the P, yeah, and the economics comes in, and the finance, do you understand? And the legal system, and the legal issues, eh? Yes, the legal issues. Before they all arrive, you must wait on God. And that one, nobody can do it for you. Your pastor cannot wait on God for you. Sometimes people have dreams and they say that, I had this dream, what does it mean? I'm not the interpreter of all dreams. If you tell me your dream, I may use just literary and, you know, this type of mind, this thing to see whether, you know, just some alliteration and some simile. By all means, if you see rain, do you understand? And your ground is being watered in your dream. What does it mean? Naturally, it means what? Eh? Something is good is happening. But you'll be surprised that you may see something like that. It doesn't mean something good. Like the butler who, the baker who was baking for Pharaoh, when he had a dream that he was carrying bread on his head and birds came to pick them up. It's like, birds are picking this thing from your head. Wow. So you are feeding birds. That you are baked more. So it's like you are going to bake more and
enlargement
is coming. The people are not just around, they are coming from far. That's why it's birds. It's easy to have that interpretation, but Asomua, he was going to be killed. They were going to cut off his head. Well, I don't see how birds picking bread on your head equals cutting off your head in 3 days. I don't see how it works, but you know how it is. Yes. Or Pharaoh has a dream. He sees 7 fat cows. And then 7 lean cows come and eat them. Cows don't eat cows, but they came to eat the fat cows, and then it was as though they have been eaten. You know, some people, when they eat, you can't tell whether they have eaten, because their body doesn't praise the food. Body ni ye dianena, yeah. Your body does not praise the food. Am I saying something? Learn to follow the voice of God. Go and ask God. God will guide you. You'll be surprised for the first time because you took time to pray. A whole day, you went to the answered prayer gardens or the beach or somewhere alone to go and pray concerning something that you are about to engage in. You've got 3 jobs that have called you. Which one do you choose? Naturally, you choose the one that pays more. Naturally. But go and wait on God and see what God will say. Because before you realize, God has delivered you from a company that is going bankrupt in 3 months.
So you start, your first pay is good, second pay is good, third pay, the third, after the third month, no, we are sorry. We are going to Abidjan. Or we are moving to Seychelles. Hey! So it's easy in your life to see things that look very nice. When Paul was on a ship, they were about to sail, and he told them that we should not set sail. For I perceive, you see, that this journey will be with much damage, not only to the goods we have on the ship, but even to our lives. So an angel appeared to me and said that we should not go. Yes, the Lord, or I perceive, or an angel appeared, or God told me, or you heard. These are words of spiritual people. But those who are not spiritual, when you hear somebody saying that the Lord said, and I felt, or I perceive, you say, hey, you sense. Now you don't sense. That's why you are ridiculing it, and you are making it look stupid. But it's real. God can guide you who to marry. God can say, no, not that brother. No, not that brother. Never. He has a car, he has a good job, he has his own house, he's well settled, but no, not him. God can guide you. And you see that there's a struggle within your heart, your mind, your body, inside you, the feeling you get. No. It's everything looks okay, but you just don't have a good feeling about it. God also can guide you like that. If you don't learn those things, you are not spiritual. And every battle you meet, you will think that the same how we fought this King Bashan and Og and so on, we should also fight the same way. No, you'll be surprised. Samson, the Bible says, when the Philistines came upon him, and the wife said that the Philistines are upon you, the Bible says he got up and shook himself to go out as at other times. The same way that he has been going out. But this time the Bible says that he wist not, or he knew not, that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. The source of his strength was gone. But he was still going in the same way to go and fight how he used to fight. And it was not easy. They arrested him, took out his eyes, and took him to prison. The mighty man of valor, Samson, was now a blinded prisoner in one of the dungeons in the land of Philistine. Because you shouldn't say, I have always done it this way. Don't say, I will go out as at other times. You have to tell yourself, what must I do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, which way? Lord, what's going to happen? Lord, what should I take? Should I actually go to America? Yes. Your father is in America. Your brother is in America. All your siblings are in America. And they are fired for you to come. And they say you should come. But pray about it. Pray about it. Don't assume that God has answered. Most of us are flowing with the flow. I have more things. This is not what I'm preaching about, but it's good that it has come in. So follow God's express guidance for every single battle of your life. Don't assume. Don't take it for granted. I'm always telling God, what should I preach? Which way should I go? Yes. What to preach? I have so many books to preach from that I can just close my eyes and 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But you see, you people, even when I started to preach enlargement, you didn't know about anything about enlargement or anything. But when we went for Give Thyself Holy Conference, Bishop also stood up and said he's going to preach about enlargement. I told the Lord, this one, Lord, I can see that you are encouraging me, Pa, because this line that my prophet is following, guided by you, and this line that I've been following for the last 2 months, the way that they have coincided, no, it means that you are encouraging me. Yes. And I felt encouraged. And if you don't know how God speaks, I'll tell you that, as for this one, it's one of the ways that God is saying something to you. That you are in a season. I proclaim that we are in a season of enlargement.
I declared it more than June 2nd I started. We are in a season of enlargement. We are in a season of enlargement. And the prophet said, I'm preaching on enlargement. It's the season already. It is the season. Therefore, you will walk in your place of enlargement. God will make your feet like hinds feet. You will walk upon your high places in the mighty name of Jesus. So believe the things we are preaching to help you. What verse are we on? Verse what? 9. Okay. And the armed men went before the priest. Okay, verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. You see, when I say shout, many of you, when I say shout, it's like, no. Hey, are you not shouting? Look, shout so that they can hear you at the castle. Because you don't understand spiritual things. Why should I shout? Why should I come to church and be shouting? Why am I mad? Yeah, pastor, you get up, you say we should shout. Do you know who I am and where I come from that you are instructing me to shout? Why should I shout? What's the point in shouting? I won't shout, okay. I say, why should God instruct them to shout? Why? I don't know. But you are not God, I'm also not God. So God gives guidance. That's why he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of that, but thou shalt meditate day and night and observe to do according to all that is written there. So if God gives you a word, don't just say that, why? Why should we shout? I mean, we are just walking around the thing. First day, nothing happened. We have gone around. Second day, nothing happened. You wake up the third day, no, people start complaining. Sanity. And being a city, it will be long. I mean, if you imagine, let's say, an Akazu campus, it's like Jericho. Oh, okay, let's say, is that Jericho? Bring it up. Ancient Jericho. Yeah. Do you see? So, even if it's like, even if you have done well, you should still come for your quiet time lessons. So you see, where's the guy? You see, ancient Jericho, that's the city. Let's say even it's as big as Lakeside Estates, Community 8, even Community 8, which is gated. If they say walk around, only Community 8. Do you understand? You walk here, it's not the same. You may look at it as that, maybe it was just like the church. No, it's a city. It's not a one place. But God has said it. I believe it. That's what I'm going to do. If God says, not neglecting the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, where he's talking about fellowshipping with other brethren. Do you understand? That not neglecting the assembling of yourselves, like when Christians assemble, don't neglect to be part of it. It's like God has spoken. I believe it. Why should I always come to church? Why should I always be here? Why should I always pray? What is the point? If God will help me, if God will help you, he will help you. If God will bless you, he will bless you. Hey, that thing, God, he is himself. If he decides to bless you, he will bless you. There's nothing you can do about it. So me, I'm there. If he wants to bless me, he should bless me. This type of praying, what's the point? So,
Pray every day, pray every day. There is too much. If God will help me, if I pray small, he should use the small prayer to help me. What's the point in every day as you pray? So some of us always argue in your minds against God's word and God's direction. Walk around once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, wake up early and walk around the whole place 7 times. Meanwhile, something we have been doing once a day, now we are going to do it 7 times on one particular day. Hey, Brittany, you have now walked 4 times, nothing has happened. 5 times, nothing. 6 times, some people will say we will not go. I say, but the Bible says that they came to Joshua and said, all that you command us, we will do. And as we obeyed Moses, so we'll also obey you. So they were following Joshua the way they followed Moses.
Yes.
And he said, don't shout till I tell you. Don't shout till I tell you. You see some people, shout on the seventh day and shout on the third day. What's the difference? All shout, be shout. But all shout, no be shout. Shout on the last day according to Joshua's instruction, obeying God, is different from shouting on the last day in round one. Shout will happen at round 7, after round 7, and Joshua has not said we should shout, so nobody should shout. And nobody who is an opinion leader amongst us should find some 7 people or 20 families and tell them that, Charlie, make we no mind Joshua, make we shout. The thing, the shout we will shout at the end, for shout up now. Because me, I've seen a place I like in the Jericho area. If I will break this wall, it will work. So if we shout at the last day, we have reached already. By the time we go, maybe we'll miss this part. Let's shout now. I can't shout now. You can't shout now. You cannot shout now. You have to wait for Joshua. These are spiritual things. My message is very short, but it has become long. I'm almost ending. So the second day they compassed and they went on. Okay. Now, listen to God's... what's caveat? Lawyers, tell me. What's a caveat?
It's like an exception.
A warning. Okay, so here's a caveat. Verse 17. He says, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house. Because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down. So the caveat here, or the warning, is that this city is your first battle. Okay, it will be your first victory because I've given it to you. But dedicate it to me. Dedicate it to me. It's a type of tithe. Yes. It's like you are going to have many battles. You are going to take over many lands. You are going to enjoy many things. But this first one there, give it to me. I think even in our local lives, when you get your first salary, it's expected that you give it to your father. Why? 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 Somebody tell me why. Why?
Maybe because you owe your existence.
Eh?
Maybe because you owe your existence to him, so your first income goes to him.
You owe your existence to your biological father. So those of you that didn't do it.
Yeah.
Eh? Go back and do what is right. And it's a lot. Yes. But you are not paying the person. But that token is a consecration. It's like, I am giving you honor for, you know, all that you have done and will do in my life. All that you got, your very life, you owe your very life to the Father who gave birth to you and trained you and disciplined you and guided you and shielded you and protected you and provided for you. Until now, you have been able to get a job and you have got your first salary. Give it to your Father. Yes. Yes. That's honor. So God told them that this first battle you are going to fight, because you are going to, we summarized Joshua's life in Joshua chapter 10 last week. And in the summary of his life, he overcame this city, that land, that king. So many towns and cities and kings were listed that he overcame. And God says that even though you are going to fight many battles after this, this city, dear, nobody should touch anything inside. Kill all the king, the children, the people in the land, everything, but dedicate the gold, the silver, and the brass to me. Nobody should touch anything. So that's the caveat, according to my lawyers. It's a warning that if you touch it, you'll become an accursed person. If you touch it, so this small topic, short one, is enlargement by eliminating covetousness. Yes. The Jericho battle teaches us one thing, that in the season of enlargement, you must eliminate covetousness. It's the first city that was conquered, and it was to be dedicated to the Lord. Are you listening to me? That's your kind of tithe to the Lord. Many victories are coming. Dedicate this one. So we have to learn that part of our victories in life, and our achievements in life must be dedicated to the Lord. You have to, it's the first thing, it must be on your heart. When you are following God, you must have a principle, a law, you know, something in your heart and mind that governs you, that whatever I do, whatever I achieve, I must dedicate a serious section to the Lord. I must devote it, consecrate it. You see, the accursed thing is consecrated. Look at Leviticus 27 verse 30. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Please, fast. He says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy or consecrated unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. First, ye shall make you no graven image. Deuteronomy, not Leviticus, please. Deuteronomy. I told you that you need quiet time guidance. Deuteronomy. Hey, guy. And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possesses it. When you come into the land, you see, and dwell therein. Oh, verse 2. Gentlemen, we are reading the whole passage. That thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land, of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess that this day unto thy Lord thy God, that I am come into the country which the Lord swear unto our fathers. Like, God has blessed me and brought me to a place. Now you come to the place where God has chosen to put his name, and the priests who are in those days. I thank God I am one of the priests that are in this day. Yes. And this is a place where God has chosen to put his name. He says, then, hey, the guy, Then the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand. So you have worked, you have labored. You take a section of your produce and bring it to the priest.
Yes, sir.
Because mind you, there were 12 tribes. But when they were going to the promised land, God told them that the Levites, the group called Levites, they had Gad, Gadites, Manasseh, people from Manasseh, that's Joseph's people. They had Naphtali, they had Judah, they had Simeon, Reuben, Asaph, Asher. All of them were 12 children of Judah. And the Levites, those who came from Levi, he said that they are going to be dedicated to serve God. So they don't fight first of all, and then they don't also farm. So when you farm and you get things, the priest who doesn't farm, doesn't do business, and doesn't, he must also enjoy what is coming. So God devoted this section for the priest. And even the priest, he designed a particular section that they should enjoy. And first, when they said, before you go far into the promised land, it must be in your spirit that it's not everything we eat. Some things are for God. And even if you're a pastor, you have to learn that it's not everything we touch. And the ministry of our Lord Jesus is not for personal monetary gains and personal aggrandizement. Yes. What is covetousness? It's the desire for more. More money. Desire for more money. More. So God has given you all these nations. He says, they are all yours. But don't touch this one. I know that you will overcome it. You will go and take the land. You will kill the people there. You will see gold. You will see silver. You will see brass. But don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's a principle you must be in your heart. You see, when God wants to enlarge you and you don't have this principle, you will get spoiled. Because God has blessed you. You have a car. You see, when you don't have a car, your main vision is to have a car. Hey, a car, oh, a car. A car, oh, the day I get a car. Hey, my God. Oh, when you get the car, then you see that, hey, Sir Petrus, yeah, very important something. And then comes a house. Then you think, oh, when you get married, that's the end of your... Then you say, hey, I need a child. Hey, a child is a very... When the child comes, hey, I need one more. It's like, in man, there seems to be some insatiable desire for more. Yeah. So sometimes when you are following God, you are still bent on this same angle that I must have more. I must have more. It must all come to me. But the Bible is showing us from the Jericho battle that it's not everything that God wants you to eat. There are some things that God doesn't want you to touch. And you have to eliminate that desire for, I want more. And think about it, since you've been alive, the monies, well, all the monies you keep that you don't devote them to God, where and how far does it lead you in this world? How far does it go? How can it go? If you have to pay your tithe, maybe 500. When you eat the 500, ask yourself that how far? Maybe another day, maybe another week, maybe another something. But that thing that you spend that money on, it finishes. But God never finishes. God is still the same. He's still on his throne. Even when the king dies, God is still on his throne. Even when the king is not alive, God is still on his throne. Even when the economy goes down, God is still on his throne. And God is showing you that I am the one who fights your battle. That's why this wall, you are not the one bringing it down. I will bring it down for you. You can say scientifically that when they walk around the wall, the ground weakened. The ground became weak. You see, there are some people who have this type of arguments. The ground, the man understood a certain principle. He said, oh, in
architecture and construction, when you walk around walls for a long time, the ground around the wall weakens. And then when you shout, the shouting, when you get to a certain decibel, it vibrates the walls, and then they are often not able to stand. But God is saying, I am the one. I brought it down. It was my battle. I did. And I'll do many more for you. But don't touch this first one. The first start. Put it on your heart that God thinks we don't touch. And if you become a pastor, you will see that you are still, money is in front of you all the time. It dangles. And I like my prophet. You see, very early, long ago, not today, he shared his vision with us. He said, God gave him a vision, and the vision, he was walking along a path. And along the path, he came across, he saw something that looked like, you know, tipper track has tipped sand. Have you seen a road where they tip sand? I'm sure if you're in Ghana, you know, you tip. And we are in that season. You see a lot of heaps of sand tipped along your road. So sometimes the car has to avoid it. Otherwise, you climb it and somersault. Yeah. So he saw a heap of sand like a tipper had tipped sand. When he approached, he saw that it was not sand, it was gold. Gold coins. Gold coins in here. See? This one there, if I collect all, I'll be rich for the rest of my life. Then a voice told him that, no. Don't touch this. Just take enough, as much as you can hold in your hand, and put it in your pocket and continue. Then he said, because along this road that I have called you to walk on, you will meet many such heaps. Yes. You will meet many such heaps. Now many people will meet one heap like that and settle there. They won't move anywhere. It's like, this is where God has brought me. So you will see that we don't preach. We don't continue to preach. We don't continue to travel. We don't continue to do things that will help the work of God. We have met, God has blessed me on the journey, and I've met a heap of gold. But God said, don't stop there. Continue on the journey, because along this journey, there are many heaps. And do you know something? As he continued, he just took enough for his pocket, and he continued walking. He met many heaps, and the heaps he met were bigger than the first one that he met. What would have happened if he had stopped on the first heap? And I've seen practically how God has blessed him, blessed the ministry, as we keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep. And as a church, we must keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. Because along this path, oh yes, along this path, this journey we are going on, there are more provisions on the way. God will provide for you. Along your own Christian journey and walk with the Lord, there are many heaps along the way. Don't stop at one. Don't be angry and say, why shouldn't I go and bring a wheelbarrow? So you have left the path to continue on the journey. Maybe after this heap, there are towns. There are villages that you must visit, that you must preach to, but you have stopped, gone back to your headquarters, and you are now looking for wheelbarrow. You have got wheelbarrow, now you are bringing wheelbarrows to carry this heap of sand, and so on. First in your heart must be that death for love, for silver and abundance. There must be that death. It must die in you that it doesn't matter. God can call you to give your car and you give it. Oh yes. Because along the journey there are many cars. Oh yes. God can call you. There are people who have given house. Sometimes they don't share their testimony out of the envious eyes of people around. And also the attack of these people who come to stand by your car because you gave a testimony that you have got more houses now. They say, oh, I want to rent a house. I need a house to stay in. I need a land to buy. Since you say God has given you many lands, can I get one? Can I get one? Can I get one? That's what happens. So many people who are blessed, they don't easily give their testimony to explain the depths of the wealth God has blessed them with. But they get
many, God blesses them. God, along the journey that God has called you, there are many, many, many things. If you don't settle it in your heart that here, we don't eat money. We don't eat money. You can't pay your tithe. And you say, enlargement. I'm going higher. I'm going forward. You are joking. Settle it in your heart. Jericho, we don't touch. Unfortunately, Achan, one of the men of Israel, he said, I saw a nice Babylonish garment and a wedge of gold and silver. And I took them and I've gone to hide them in my tent. So God came to them and said, hey, Israel has sinned. Because they have taken from the accursed thing. God felt it. God felt it. He felt it that no. One man who has taken just a wedge of gold, some silver, and a nice Babylonian garment, and has gone to hide it. And God said, no. He felt it. God feels it when you don't pay your tithe. You think I'm the one who... I've even been trying to analyze people's tithe, and you bring your card, and I'm home. I'm not necessary like that. God is the one. He feels it when you are eating the money. You are using it to buy your Brazilian hair. He feels it. He feels it. You didn't pay the right amount. He feels it. And Ananias and Sapphira, they brought 50%. And they said, we have brought 100. He feels, the Spirit said, why have you come to lie to me? He feels it. The pastor may not see it. The treasurer may not count it. But God sees it and God feels it. You have to settle it in your heart, brothers and sisters, that there are things that we dedicate to God. If you are a believer, you have to believe something and live by what you believe. And this is one of the things you must believe, that God dedicate, there are things, your victories that he helps you to win. There are sections of that victory you must dedicate to God and give it to him in his honor. There are children who are even dedicated to God, that, like what Hannah did. Hey, my breasts are over. And God has given me a child. I'll give it to the child. If God blesses me and gives, I'll give it to him. When Jacob was coming from, running from his brother, he prayed. He said, God, if you bring me to a land, my own land, and bless me, everything that I get, I'll give you 10% of it. It's like, you can't have victory without dedicating a section, a meaningful, precious section of your victory to God. God blesses you. You get a contract. $1 million. Now, what did you know? It's like, now I'm going to Dubai. Okay, I went to Dubai the last time. I'm not going to Bahamas. There's a cruise. You know, there's a new ship that has come. It's big, very bigger than any of the ships that are in town. And I tell you, life on that, they have soccer there. They have swimming pool. They have lawn tennis. They have table tennis. They have golf. They have everything. I'm going on that ship. I want to enjoy everything that is there.
$1 million.
You eat all. You don't understand that your victories. So they went, the next victory, the next battle they had to fight was a small city called Ai. But the name is so, the city is so small that the name too is small. Artificial intelligence. Ai. Ai. That's all. When they were going, Joshua said, oh, this one is a small town. Just a few people should go and kill them. They beat them. They ran away from this small. Joshua couldn't believe it. He said, what has happened? How can we run away from it? He went to God. He said, God, what are we going to tell the nations that you have delivered your people from and that you couldn't deliver them from this small town? Well, what is happening? And God said, Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. Because they have taken up their care thing. Because Joshua was going out like other times. But he didn't realize that somebody had made a mistake and taken a wedge of gold and a nice Babylonian garment. He said, Israel has sinned. The verse you had before, put it back on. The verse you had, put it, the same verse. The verse you had before, put it back on. The one before this one, put it back on. Hey. The one before this one that you are seeing now, there was a verse before it. Put that verse back on. This guy, I tell you that he will do the quiet time 3 times a day. I tell you. Are you there? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Has he brought a verse or something? Yeah. And Achan answered, verse 20, Joshua 7:20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Verse 21, when I saw among the spoils of a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, covetousness, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver is under it. Mercy. 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 The Lord have mercy. The Lord have mercy. Those of you who have Babylonish garments among your things, God's dresses are in your things. You know? Hey. Where did he say Israel has sinned? Yeah, verse 11. Joshua 11. Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken even of their cursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own staff. That verse, among their own staff. They have added it to their staff. How much of God's staff is in your staff? My time is finished. This was a very short sermon, but it has become long because of all the other revelations that came back. It's okay. It's okay. I'll continue it on the next service so you can listen to their podcast. Yes. I've taken and added it to my staff. And God said, so they have to now go and find this boy. God told them, bring the whole nation down and bring them together by their tribes. Yes. And when they come by, bring them by their families. And when they come by, bring them by their what? Their what? Their clans? He said, by their households. And then bring them by man by man. Joshua 7:14. Bring the nation together and bring them by their tribes. And they took the tribe of Judah. Then they brought them families in the tribe of Judah. Everybody stand according to families. Percentage and everything. Basson test, all these choirs are together. Everyone is on their own. And those of you who don't belong to any group, you are also on your own. And then he said they brought them by households. And then the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. So they took the tribe of the family of the Zahites. And then they took the household of Zabdi. And then man by man it fell on Achan. And Achan came to confess all the things. And God put a judgment on them. And they bent them, stoned them and bent them. It's like it's so serious. That's why I say, put it on your heart, oh, that God thinks they don't touch them. When people become angry with church, then they say that we are taking your money. But you think about it. Am I the one taking your money? You say you believe in God. And I'm showing you what God does and how he operates. You are now. When I talk about God will bless you, that one you accept. When I say God demands something from you, from the victories that he has helped you to chalk, you are telling me that I am taking your money. Because before you came, I was hungry, isn't it? When you came, I looked like some emaciated, gaunt Ethiopian who is dying tomorrow. Because we are not in the church, I couldn't drive a car, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or that I was living on the road, or homeless.
Where?
Never have we needed your money or demanded any money from you. And if you don't believe that what you are giving is given to God, then keep your money. But when you were going to get married and I was officiating your marriage, you accepted that God, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. When I was, did you see God's face when you were standing here saying that, dearly beloved, you prince, you are sitting here. When you came with Emily and I said, dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and in the face of this congregation to join together this man with his beard and this beautiful woman. Did you see God's face reciting that this thing? When I said, now from today you are man and wife, you may kiss the bride. Did you kiss her or not? Did you kiss her or not? And everybody who is in the church accept that he's not fornicating. They have given birth to one daughter now. And I think there's another on the way. After elections. Okay. Hey, stand up, let's go home. He says after elections. What a blessing. Let's give to God what belongs to Him. That when He sets aside the tithe, don't covet what belongs to God and take it. I coveted it and I took it and I've added it to my staff. Share. Some of you, God's tithe is in your hair. You have added God's money to your hair and you are wearing it. But may God have mercy on you.
Amen.
So you learn to walk with Him properly. Walk with God properly. Because He's the blessing. He will be the blessing of your life.
Amen.
Lift your hands. Father, thanks a million. Oh yes. I come today to dedicate my life to You. And dedicate the victories. You alone, You help me to win. You help me to overcome. Overcome in my personal life, overcome in my business life, overcome in my ministry, my church, the work I do for You. You help me. You help me in my area fellowship, even to bring one more. Your word says that except my Father draws you, you cannot come. God is drawing the people. God will, even though it looks like my effort, I acknowledge that it is Your doing. Lord, I get up and go to work every morning. I don't even know how I wake up when I sleep. I don't know what happens in the night when I'm asleep. But You watch over me. You protect me. You give me wisdom. I go to work. I am able to work. I'm able to add figures. I'm able to write. I'm able to analyze. I'm able to speak. Lord, I'm able to walk around. I'm able to run around. I'm able to lift things. I acknowledge that it is the doing of the Lord. It is marvelous in my eyes. Hey, Father, save me from adding Your stuff to my stuff. For every victory that I experience in my life, Lord, let me dedicate what is Yours to You. Eluma harata sike de majala rande seu kafali kabaretes. Father, we give You praise. We give You honor. Thank You for guiding us by Your word. Please open our eyes to see, our ears to hear where You are leading us, where You are guiding us, what You are telling us. Help us to know them. Help us to experience them in the mighty name of Jesus.
Let covetousness die in our hearts. Let covetousness, a certain strong desire for more money, leave our hearts so we can relate with you properly. We are always holding on, for there is that withholdeth more than is meet, and it tends to poverty. Oh yes. Thank you, Master. I pray for everyone that will not go according to our own understanding. In all our ways, may we acknowledge you. May we wait on you. May we seek your direction. May you guide us by your light. May you help us to know where to go, what to do, what to say. Oh Father, that we never hit our feet against a stone and never destroy our lives and our future and our destinies. I pray for everyone. I lift my hand as a shepherd over your flock. I decree and I bless them. I bless them with the blessings of heaven. I bless them, oh God. Oh my God. Talike sofina mashike. Zio tafala maratise kianda labaha. Ratoka chilimi sabalades. May they be blessed, Lord. Onda shikale. I give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Clap for Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you are here today. You are not a born again Christian. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus, please. Somebody invited you, or you came by yourself, but you want to be more serious with the Lord. You want to serve Him. You want to go to heaven when you die. You don't want to be known as an unbeliever. You want to be a believer. Believing in the Lord. Wherever you are standing, please lift up your right hand. I want to pray for you. Lift up. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hands up high. God bless you. Lift them up. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. God will come into your life. God will change your life. You will never be the same again. God will help you. If you have lifted your hand, come to me right in front here. Come, don't be shy, don't be afraid. Let's pray. Those of you in front here, lift up your hands. Maybe you are still standing there. You are still standing there, but your heart is beating. You are not at rest. And God is still, you know, striving with you to take a step forward. It's like, today is the end of playing games with God. And from today, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to be serious. I don't go to church properly, but from today, I'm going to be serious with the Lord. As we are praying, come and join them. Maybe you are a Christian, but you're backslidden. You want to rededicate your life. Come forward also. Let's pray together. Say after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. From today, I will serve Jesus and follow Jesus for the rest of my days. Please write my name in the book of life. I'm yours forever. Now Satan, from today, I belong to Jesus. I'll serve Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior and my Master. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Amen. You are blessed. Take out your communion elements. Father, we bless the bread. We bless the wine. Thank you for the body that was broken for us. The blood that was shed for us. We receive them with thanks and appreciation. Deep appreciation for His great sacrifice. In Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Jesus Christ.
drink, this is my blood.
Lift the cup. This is the blood of Jesus. Receive it with thanks.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Oh yeah, the cup of blessing which we bless.
You are blessed. May God give you a series of victories. And as you experience victory after victory, may you dedicate to God what is dedicated to Him. And may you never add His staff to your staff, lest a curse comes upon you. But may there be a blessing on your life. Always. I declare upon you, anything that has brought a kind of curse in your life, I pray that the mercy of God and the blood of the eternal covenant will answer for you and give you mercy. The Lord bless you and help you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have no doubt that you have received a blessing from the Word of God preached by Bishop Eddie Addy. Do join either of our Victory Secret Services
from the Macarius Church Headquarters,
East Egon Hills, Accra, this and every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. and 10:30 a.m. Connect with Bishop Eddie Addy on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you and lead you in a series of victories.